This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the Syngenta Agronomy Team in the Midwest. You can keep up with the latest crop management advice from Syngenta by visiting their No More, Grow More blog and by signing up for their regionalized twice-monthly digest. It's not all that unusual to get a surprise in the quarterly grain stocks report, but when it's a 300 million bushel surprise in the September 1 quarterly grain stocks, yeah, that's unusual.
Live from Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today on the show, Chip interviews Chip Flory. What? Jack Scoville will have the feel from the floor, and of course we'll have the Artec Attack with Kerry Artec near the end of the show. Now, here's your host, your guest, Mr. Multiplicity, Doug's 1 through 4, hopefully not a whole lot of 4, Chip Flory.
Oh, beautiful. Good work there, John Herron.
I knew you'd like that one.
Yes.
We'll have to explain it later, but yes.
Hey, we shouldn't even have to explain that.
Says you.
Yeah, says me. Thank you so much for joining us today, everybody. Quite the surprise, 300 million bushel smaller than expected. September 1 corn stocks estimate from USDA gave us prices that, number one, it was a bull spread market with the front month gaining faster than the back months. So that's a positive sign. I'm looking at Dees 20 was up a nickel and a quarter. You got the Dees 19 up 16 and a half cents today. So big move in the market. Bull spreads were working in beans today as well. Let's just call them 20 cents higher. Solid gains in soybean meal. Bean oil, modestly higher. The winter wheat contracts, which kind of hard to explain, but the winter wheat contracts were higher today with spring wheat lower, just a little bit more of that spread reversal going on there. Live cattle were mixed today with a little bit of pressure on the nearby contracts, a little bit of strength in the back month contracts. Those higher corn prices had feeder cattle under pressure today, and despite the price negative quarterly hogs and pigs report that we got on Friday, lean hog futures, even the October, managed to move on the plus side of unchanged for the final bell, but solid gains in the Dees and Feb and out to the April hogs, and some gains in the back month lean hog futures as well today. So big way to start the week here, John. No question indeed about it. And the quarterly grain stocks really got us off and rolling.
Yeah, it really did. Well, let's get into it. USDA's annual small grain summary put the 2019 all wheat crop at 1.962 billion bushels, about 6 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate. The cuts came to the winter wheat crop, with the other spring wheat crop up 3 million bushels from August. Because of the slow harvest, USDA says it will resurvey farmers for spring wheat production, with any update to the crop included in the November 8th crop production report.
Yeah, we've got all the big spring wheat production states are going to be resurveyed. North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Washington. Oregon is not included in that. So, yeah, if there's any changes that need to be made, they'll be made in the November crop production report.
And that's all small grains, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All right. Wheat stocks in all positions on September 1 totaled 2.385 billion bushels. That was within the range of pre-report guesses, but was 67 million bushels above the average pre-report estimate. While the stocks data was generally negative for wheat prices, traders said spillover support from corn and soybean futures and the 11% increase in wheat use from the first quarter of the last marketing year helped wheat prices push to the upside. December hard red futures were 7.5 cents higher at 415. December soft red futures jumped 8.5 cents to 495.75. December spring wheat slipped 3.5 cents to 543.5.
You know, and one thing that we cannot ignore in here too, John, is there continues to be that buildup of wheat trade around the world. I'm not saying demand for U.S. wheat, but there is a buildup in wheat trade around the world at these current prices. I think that's underpinning this market in here. That's one of the reasons that winter wheat futures had to move to the upside today.
Well, and if it's demand around the world, eventually it's got to work to the U.S. market.
We keep hoping so.
All right. Yes. Well, let's talk about the big surprise from today. USDA put September 1 corn stocks at 2.114 billion bushels. That's 314 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate and 184 million bushels below the lowest pre-report trade guess. On-farm corn stocks up 22% from a year ago. Off-farm stocks down 10% from a year ago. The miss does suggest USDA overestimated last year's corn crop, but that's something we probably won't get an update on until the annual production summary in January. Implied disappearance in the final quarter of the 2018-19 marketing year was down 2.2% from a year ago, but was 300 million bushels bigger than expected. December corn futures, after all that, 16.5 cents higher at 388. Even March corn, 15.75 cents higher at 399.5. May corn closed 405.25, up 14.25 cents.
All right, I've been playing with corn supply and demand sheet for a while here maybe for the last 20 minutes or so, trying to figure out exactly how they're going to get to 2.114 billion bushels for ending stocks in the 18-19 marketing year. We're going to talk about it when we come back and talk and look at some different scenarios there. But really, honestly, there's only one scenario that makes a lot of sense. So I want you to call with questions, 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524, because those questions might help me figure out what the answer might be.
Well, there you go.
Yes. Just
call in now, 855-4-TALK-AG. Soybean stocks in all positions on September 1st of 913 million bushels were 69 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate and 27 million bushels below the lowest pre-report trade guess. Nonetheless, bean stocks were up 108% from a year ago, and on-farm stocks up 162%. Off-farm stocks up 92% from last year. USDA says the smaller-than-expected stocks are the result of smaller-than-estimated 2018 bean crop. And, Chip, I'll let you get into the details of that later on.
Absolutely.
November bean futures were 23 cents higher at 906 even. January beans jumped 22 cents to 919.5. March beans closed 930, up 20 cents on the day.
All right, I'll handle the livestock news when we come back in the next break. I want to get to Jack Scoville.
Sure.
Thank you, John.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, wow, what a way to get the week started, huh?
Well, nice way to get the week started and end up the month. So
it's
a good commission day if you're a commission broker, that's for sure.
No doubt, no doubt. So the trick here is does the move today have legs? Does it continue on? The way that the markets closed, Jack, make me think that we should see some follow-through.
I would think so, and the other thing to keep in mind is that the spec is short. Well, it was short. They're a little less short after today, I'm sure. But the spec kind of was leaning bearish on these numbers, especially over in the corn. And that, I think, showed as part of the reaction that we saw to the upside here today. And that implies, you know, usually if these guys, especially the funds, got to get out, it takes 2-3 days. So there should be at least another day or two of this type of activity. And then we'll see exactly what it's worth. But then we're going to start looking ahead to the current crop year.
Yeah.
And we know that the weather hasn't been the best there. And we know that the yields, at least that I've been catching coming off the farm, aren't exactly going to be bin busters by any stretch of the imagination. So we can hold these prices for a while, even though it is harvest time.
Right. And you get a couple of days of that kind of short covering that you're talking about, Jack, you can change the momentum in a market.
Yeah, you can. I'm going to probably caution my producers to keep a pretty close eye on this thing, especially if they don't have any initial sales on, because this could be an opportunity to at least get started. But, We've changed the topic of conversation and the tone of the conversation here quite a bit with these numbers here today. No doubt about it.
No doubt about that. And don't just look at your spot sales. Look out at that March contract. Look out at the July contract. You're at 405, 408. So there are some opportunities there. Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.
Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, me. I'm joined by Mike Leach, Agronomy Service Manager for Syngenta. Mike, what should growers keep in mind as they make their weed management plan for 2020?
There's several principles that we need to consider. Number one, diversity. Utilize cover crops. Maybe it's inter-row cultivation. Obviously, crop rotation is a good diversification tool. Think about narrow rows. Think about higher plant populations that will outcompete weeds. Always, always, always start clean. Don't let the weeds get ahead of you. Always use a two-pass approach. Our data would show there's always more yield in a two-pass approach. And use herbicides that have multiple effective modes or mechanisms of activity or sites of action within the product. The whole idea is to keep weeds from going to seed, feeding the seed bank.
And, Mike, when you make that two-pass approach, use the full label rates, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cutting labels is like cutting the nose off to spite your face. It makes absolutely no sense.
Exactly. Okay, so tell me more about which herbicide programs you'd recommend.
With Syngenta and our corn portfolio, it would be a product like Acuron, Acuron Flexi, Lumax EZ, Lexar EZ. We've got a large portfolio that we can put together, a very flexible and affordable weed management program. In soybeans, it's much the same. We have Broadex XC, Boundary 6.5 EC, as well as Prefix. All of those are good, effective products that contain good, effective sites of action for soybeans. And then combine that with our new product, Tavium, plus Vapor Grip technology, or utilize the Flexstar GT. We've got great choices.
And when you apply the right product, apply it right, correctly. Don't make the mistake of some wrong applications.
Chip, I can't emphasize that enough. What has traditionally happened is we're trying to keep things simple on the sprayer. And for example, if a grower applies Tavium plus Vapor Grip and then switches to Flexstar GT, for example, in another field, you have to change the technique, the volume, the pressure, the nozzle type, all of those things so that we get the best deposition for the herbicide that's in the tank.
That was Mike Leach with Syngenta sharing recommendations on how to take back control of your weeds next season. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron, Lexar EZ, Lumax EZ, and Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology are restricted use pesticides. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
A lot of things made this game possible. Practice, good weather, hot dog vendors, and believe it or not, crop nutrition. Smart crop nutrition, to be exact. For one person here, that's what made it possible to be at this game and to lose themselves in it. It came from Micro Essentials, a phosphate fertilizer from the Mosaic Company. It uses fusion technology to make a perfectly balanced granule that delivers season-long sulfur availability and uniform nutrient distribution. Every single plant in your field gets the ideal nourishment all season long. That means a healthier crop and higher yields. And it means a sense of security. A sense that things are going okay. And when you have that, you can have little moments like this too. Experience your own with Micro Essentials. Talk to your retailer or visit microessentials.com to learn more.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory, and your guest, Chip Flory. Actually, I'm just here to keep the conversation going. You are responsible for the conversation today. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. We just had a quarterly grain stocks report that showed us corn ending stocks for the 2018-19 marketing year, 314 million bushels below what was estimated. I'm sorry, that was 314 million bushels below the average pre-report trade guess, and down sharply from what was estimated just a couple of weeks ago by USDA in the WASD, the supply and demand report. So give us a call if you've got any questions about it. I want to know what they are. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. Let's get to that livestock news before we start talking about the grain stocks report and the annual small grain summary. Last week's mostly steady cash cattle trade led to a mixed start to the week for live cattle futures. October cattle 45 cents lower at 104.57 and a half, and Deese cattle slipped 27 and a half to 110.30. October feeders, because of the solid gains in the corn market, October feeders were down $1.92 and a half at 142.40. Despite the price negative, quarterly hogs and pigs report on Friday with the hog herd up 3.4% from a year ago. Lean hog futures pushed up on expectations of increased export demand from China and other countries dealing with African swine fever. October hogs were 17.5 cents higher at 65.45, which was really pretty impressive because the market was trading lower right up to the final minutes of trade. And these hogs were yanking October hogs to the upside. These hogs on the close up 275 to close at 72.60. So good day in the Deese hogs, no doubt about that. Okay, I keep talking about this, the corn and the 300 and some million bushel miss on the corn ending stocks came in well below the trade expectations. We can't forget about the soybean stocks. Soybean stocks in all positions on September 1, 913 million bushels, were 69 million bushels below the average pre-report trade guess and 27 million bushels below the lowest pre-report trade guess. So how did we get there? We got there because, as USDA said in the grain stocks report, they overestimated last year's crop. And we talked about that, not in the September supply and demand report, but we talked about that. I believe you go all the way back to the August. We were talking about it because on the old crop, the 2018-19, they were working with such a big residual usage estimate. Well, when you throw a 75 million bushel residual usage estimate in there, what they're telling you is that they need to jack up their use because their supply was too big. They had overestimated the crop. So they took 116 million bushels off of the 2018 bean crop. On the harvested acreage side, let me get this number in front of me. I don't want to get this wrong. On the supply side, USDA on the acres went from 88.11 million harvested to 87.6 million harvested. And then they took a full bushel, one bushel, off of the bean yield from the annual production summary. It was at 51.6. They took it to 50.6 bushels per acre. That takes your 2018 bean crop from 4.544 billion bushels down to 4.428 billion bushels, 116 million bushels off from just what the market was told to expect 2 weeks ago, 2.5 or 3 weeks ago, when we got the September supply and demand report. So to offset that, what they did was they actually lowered. We got ending stocks are off 92 million bushels from the September supply and demand report, but total use is down 24 million bushels. They took it all out of the residual, took it from 75 million down to 51 million, which is exactly what should be expected in this situation. What surprises me is that they only went down to 51 million bushels. I would have expected something more in the range of 35 million bushels, and then you take that extra 15 million bushels and probably just stick it back on top of ending stocks, and that would have got us there at about 930 million bushels, down 60. That was what I was expecting to get from it, because the residual number normally comes in around that 35 million. Instead, this time they left it at 51 million. Now, we're going to see we'll see some additional numbers to that, but this, I got to believe, is going to be very close to what the World Board is going to show us in the October supply and demand report. This is a kind of a, It's World Ag Outlook Board forecast is what we should be expecting to see. And those the crush was unchanged at 2.085. The exports were unchanged at 1.745. Seed use unchanged at 89 million. That leaves you only one usage category to change, and that is the residual category. So that's how they got there. It has created some uncertainty out there over, well, if you're going to adjust the soybean crop estimate here in the September quarterly grain stocks report, why not adjust your corn crop from last year? The attitude is that if the trade missed it by 314 million bushels, well, hell, they must have overestimated the 2018 corn crop too. Well, there are some differences here, and we've talked about them before, but they're important to go over again so that you guys understand why this happened. On soybeans, what do you do with beans? You either crush them or you ship them out of the country. One of the two. There's not a lot to do with raw beans. So as a result, we can track our total usage. So here we are with total crush estimated at 2.085 billion bushels. That's based off of census data that we've already got in the bank. That's based off of the National Oilseed Processors Association crush data, or NOPA crush data. But the Census Bureau is what's going to set this crush number for USDA. And here it is at 2.085 billion bushels. Exports, export inspections. We get the report every week. We know what has been shipped. Seed, there's some argument there that you could move things around, but it's not a big enough category to move around one way or the other. So the residual component is where they make adjustments for the supply side. And yes, it's a usage category, but you use that residual component to make adjustments for the supply side. The smaller your residual estimate on soybeans, the smaller your residual estimate on soybeans could mean that they have underestimated the previous year's crop, because the smaller that usage, the bigger the supply is what that implies. Now, if you jump it all the way to 75 million bushels, like they had for the September supply and demand report, 75 million bushels of residual use is just too high. So what that suggests is that there was too much supply in the market, so you increase your total use to bring down, in effect, bring down your total supply. And then you make the adjustments later, like they did here. So they've made the adjustments now, but why can't you do that for corn? Why can't you do it for corn? We've got our corn for ethanol use. We've gotten pretty good at tracking that number. We get a grind report every month now for the corn going to ethanol production. We get our exports, our export inspections reports. We've got our seed use. But the thing is, you can use the raw kernel. in feed. Feed is very, very difficult to track, but we've got a record number of cattle. We got a record number of hogs. We got a record number of birds consuming that feed. You would assume that the number would be bigger, but it's got that residual component inside the feed and residual category. And that residual component, they break it out for soybeans because we can track the rest of the usage. For corn, because you have a difficult time tracking that feed component, you have to have a balance, a counterweight, something that you can also slide up and down the scale to make adjustments for how much corn is actually out there in the bin. And it's that residual component of the feed and residual category for corn that they use as that balance. It's like I've said many times, if you're not going to give us a feed-only number and a residual-only number for corn, then take the feed off it and just call it residual, because it's the fudge factor for corn. This time, the fudge factor worked in our advantage. We'll talk more about that in a moment.
The sounds of success vary from person to person. Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. Along with 43 new varieties this year, Credenz soybeans come with agronomic expertise from BASF. That means expert advisors who bring local insights on seed selection, management decisions, and crop protection options. Knowing the kind of success you're shooting for? That's smart. Ask your local BASF seed advisor about Credenz soybeans. Always read and follow label directions.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson joins us now. Jeff, what's the market move that mattered the most today?
I believe that was November soybeans. Not only did we break the downtrend today, but we broke the recent string of bearish USDA reports, so maybe a big trend change is happening. So what we did today was we tested support early on in the market at 881. We held that support, and then we got the bullish news, and we quickly broke out above the 100-day moving average at 888.5, triggering more buy stops, and again above 896.75. That set the tone for us to close above 905 today. That broke the downtrend off of the June highs, and now we have a situation where we can go up and test several different layers of resistance at the 200-day moving average at 911.5, at 936.5, the high from July 15th, and gotcha, the June high at 948.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're talking about the quarterly grain stocks report, what it might mean for these markets going forward. We'll also get to the annual small grain summary here in just a little bit. Let's recap how the markets did today. As soon as I get that screen up in front of me, you know, when I start looking at those charts that Jeff was talking about, and I want to talk about that too here in just a little bit. Deese corn up 16 and a half, 388. March up 15 and three quarters, 399 and a half. Novi beans up 23 cents at 906. Jan beans 22 cents higher, 919 and a half. We had Deese SRW wheat up 8.5 cents, 495 and three quarters. Deese HRW wheat up 7.5 at 415 even. December spring wheat down 2.5 cents at 544 and a half on the settlement. October live cattle were 45 cents lower at 104.57 and a half. We had October feeder cattle down 192 and a half at 142.40, and October lean hogs impressively closed 17 and a half cents higher at 65.40 in today's trade. Okay, so I hope everybody gets that feed and residual. And like I said on corn, if you're not going to give us feed only and not going to give us residual only, get rid of the feed part of it and just call it residual. Because that's essentially what it is. And describing residual use is difficult. I mean, it's in reality, it's, like I said, it's that fudge factor, but it's also stuff that's just lost in the system. And there's a fair amount of that when it comes to corn. So if we're just going to take the numbers that we had from the World Board in September, which is, let's see if we're on the usage side, if we're just going to take those numbers from the World Board, you got to take your feed and residual number up sharply. You really do. You got to push it pretty hard to the upside to get to that 2.114 billion bushels of use. Now, does that mean that you have to take your feed and residual number up over 5.5 billion bushels? No, because a year ago, here we were at 5.3 billion bushels. USDA had it at 5.275 billion bushels. You don't put all 300 million bushels on top of it. You've got to be looking at a situation here where we're looking at about a 5.45, maybe 5.5 billion bushels on the feed and residual. But the important thing is what that means, what that 2.114 billion bushel ending stocks number for the 2018-19 marketing year, what it means for the 2019-20 marketing year. So I'm just going to use some numbers that I'm pretty familiar with here. Okay, the yield at 163.3, total production, 13.358 billion bushels. Those are the estimates that we had from Pro Farmer at the end of the crop tour a month ago. So our total supply is just over 15.5 billion bushels. And if you keep your feed and residual down around 5 billion bushels, your food, seed, and industrial around 6.9 billion bushels, your export number, I'm just going to put a 2.075 billion bushel number in there. We're talking about total use of just under 14 billion bushels. At that, we've got our carryover for the 2019-20 marketing year under 1.6 billion bushels. And that is kind of that tipping point that we have talked about many, many times on corn. You get under 1.6 million bushels, it's a little easier to think that maybe prices could move to the upside. And a lot of that has to do with what your total use is, of course. But at total use of 13.975 and a total supply in here of just over 15.5 million bushels, we're talking about a stocks use ratio of 11.1%. And that does start to suggest that we could move this market to the upside. So I feel pretty good about that. And I don't know if it means 430 corn. I'm not gonna put a price on it, but I think what I would say about it is that it does make the market more vulnerable to upside price movement than it does downside price movement when we've got the D's contract at 388 and the March contract right at $4. It feels like it should be easier to generate some upside momentum in this market when we're looking at the new crop carryover of under 1.6 billion bushels. Okay? Gary from Iowa out in Western Iowa is on the line. Gary, it's good to talk with you again. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Chip. I just had a couple things.
Yeah.
First of all, we're chopping corn silage, and we're yielding right around 28 ton an acre to 30 ton. Some appraisals are coming in around 250 to 285. I got approximately 780 acres chopped so far, and I have not been in any corn under 225, and I have not been in any corn over 300.
Wow. Those are some pretty good numbers, though, Gary. I mean, compare them to a year ago.
I'd say we're down 10%.
Okay.
A lot of the guys I chop for are cattle feeders and a lot of cattle manure, you know, excellent soil for silage and corn yields, very little bean acres, all going for cattle feed, basically. I just had another quick question.
Yes.
Does October corn usually rally the December board, like the first of October? I went back in history, and I think there was a chart that was 10 years of history that generally around October 1st to October 2nd, corn is at the low, and it seems like it starts to rally. They call it a harvest rally or whatever.
Yeah.
I was curious if that was true.
Yeah, that hasn't been all that unusual here in recent years, Gary, where we do put in that quote-unquote early harvest low. And it doesn't mean that – you've heard me say this before. It doesn't mean that the market has to work to the upside, just that it has that tendency to work to the upside. And I think over the last few years, the reason that that's happening, Gary, is because the funds have been going into the harvest season on the short side of the market. Sound familiar?
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
yep, it does.
You know, and then even when you get those few words, when you string them together, better than expected, those three little words that we've been hearing over the past few years, it still isn't enough to keep the downside pressure on it because it's already been factored into prices.
Yeah, I would say our corn is a lot better than we ever dreamed.
This year.
Yes. It's coming back surprisingly 50 bushel to 100 bushel better than everybody thought. We've been fighting a lot of rain, so.
Wow. You know, it's that much better than what you feared it might be, but it's still down from a year ago. I think that's an important note to make there.
Yeah, I would say 10% down from a year ago.
Right. Okay, good stuff, Gary. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. You bet.
That's Gary over in Western Iowa. Let's talk real quick about the annual small grains summary. We had the all wheat crop come in at 1.962 billion bushels. Trade expected 1.968 billion bushels. So just 6 million bushels below trade expectations and 18 million bushels below what we got in August for the all wheat estimate. The winter wheat crop estimate came in at 1.304, down 22 million bushels from August. HRW crop is off 7 million bushels from August at 833 million bushels. The soft red crop back in August was put at 257 million bushels, and now in the annual small grain summary, 239 million bushels. The trade was expecting 256, and we got it at 239. So big, you know, big, quote-unquote, big miss there. White winter wheat came in at 232. That was up 3 million bushels from August. And then we get to the other spring wheat. Trade was expecting about a 10 to 15 million bushels off from where we were in August. And we ended up 3 million bushels. Now, that is why part of the reason for this 600 million bushel crop estimate for the other spring wheat is because we just don't have enough data. We just don't have enough data yet. So USDA has said that they are going to go out and resurvey farmers in Idaho, Minnesota, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Washington for the other spring wheat. Now, they are also going to resurvey for some of the other small grains, barley and oats in Oregon, for example, barley and oats in Idaho. And then when you get over to Maine, barley and oats, they're going to relook at it at there as well. But you got Washington, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota for other spring wheat is what they are going to resurvey for. And if any change to the 600 million bushel other spring wheat crop estimate that we got in today's small grain summary, if there's any change needed to that at all, it'll show up in the November crop production report. They cut the all wheat harvested acres by 353,000 from August. So that's where we had a lot of the change. Winter wheat harvested acreage was cut by 597. Other spring wheat acres actually increased 310,000 acres from the August estimate. So it's not a lot of movement on the yield side of things, but a lot of movement on the acres. And that'll move those final numbers around quite a bit going into the final numbers of the year. Okay, so there we go. Thanks for calling, Gary. There's still time. Carrie Artak from Artak Advisory is coming up next. But if you've got a question that hasn't been answered about the quarterly grain stocks report or the annual small grain summary, give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG right here on AgriTalk.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners. This is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have ARC County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back. Glad that you could join us today. Had a tweet in from at JW8. He says, strictly from a price chart perspective, how do 93 and 19 compare? He says, I know the weather isn't identical. You know what? I need to go and take a look at it again, but my hunch would tell me that you can't line today up with anything that we saw in 1993, because 93 didn't start really until we got the November. It started with the October crop production report, but it took until the November crop production report before we really got that 93 market moving. But, John, I'll take another look at that. And then this one from at AE Pork, is the Smithfield plant in North Carolina shipping whole hogs to China, whole hog carcasses? Will more plants be doing that? Yes, I'm not exactly sure what percent of that of the Smithfield plant down in North Carolina is shipping whole carcasses to China. Will more plants be doing that? I can only assume so, because those whole carcasses go into the wet market in China, and that it goes into the marketplaces so that they can hang the hog, and then they cut the hog while they stand there and they say, yes, I want that, I want that, I want that. So, or it just gets sold for whole hog cooking. Okay. So we'll get into that a little bit more. Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory, joins us right now. How are you today, Carrie?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Good, good, good. Wow, what a way to start the week. And it's got to put some of those resistance marks in range for this week, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been mentioning the last few shows. We tested long-term support at 353 even, and I've been maintaining a 426 and a quarter upside 3 to 5 month target. That's likely narrowed now to within 2 to 3 weeks. This is true, you know, so long as we hold above 372 and a quarter, and I'm talking December corn. So holding above 372 and a quarter, that 426 and a quarter, 3 to 5 month target is now likely realized by the end of October. 426 and a quarter can contain buying into next spring. And now downside, if we close the week Friday back below 373 and a quarter, that would signal yet another test probably by the end of next week of that 353 even long-term support level, where once again the broader market can bottom out through next year. As I mentioned a moment ago, 426 and a quarter remains a 3 to 5 month target, now narrowed likely to within 2 to 3 weeks. On to November beans. We should test meaningful overhead resistance at 930 even, say by the end of next week. 930 even can contain buying into November expiration. On the other hand, if we close the week Friday above 930 even, that would sustain, you know, bullish continuation into November trade. 1006 even long-term resistance then expected over the following, I don't know, 5 to 8 weeks or so, where the broader bean market, which would include both the January and March 2020 contracts, can top out through spring of next year. But that doesn't become a target unless we close above 930 even. Once we test 930 even, the November contract can back off into expiration. And in fact, downside this week, while 883 half can contain weekly selling pressures, if we close Friday below 883 half, that would indicate a good October high. 845 even then expected over the next 2 to 3 weeks, where no beans can bottom out into expiration. And finally, December live cattle 3 weeks ago, when the October contract was lead front and center on the weekly long-term charts, we tested that anticipated long-term floor of support at 93.75. And having done so, these live cattle does remain primed for continued recovery to 116.75, which I think should be reached by the end of October, where the broader market can actually place a winter high. We can actually top out through winter at 116.75. On the other hand, if we muster a weekly settlement in the coming weeks above 116.75, that would indicate continued price gains through winter and into next spring, 132 even, then anticipated over the following 3 to 5 months. Downside, while 109 even can contain selling through next week, closing the week back below 109 even would likely mark a good October high, 99.75, then in reach over the following 3 to 5 weeks. But just a reminder that overall, the longer-term outlook remains bullish above 93.70, which is way below the market, maintaining a 116.75 2 to 3 month target, which I mentioned a moment ago, should now be realized by the end of October. And in fact, the 132 handle in reach by next summer, so long as we continue trading above that 93.70 long-term support that, you know, we tested a few weeks back.
Yeah. Yeah. This cattle market, the resiliency of it has got to be impressive to you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was expecting that test of long-term support, but I was not expecting the incredible rebound rally we've incurred over the last few weeks. That this can happen once you test these really significant long-term levels that we did, a few weeks back.
Right, right. Thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chip. Talk soon.
You bet. Hey, don't forget, Kerry's got a 2-week free trial waiting for you at ARTAC Advisory. That's ARTAC Advisory.com. Okay, National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for October 6th through the 10th. It's got a combination of temperatures outlooks here, but right through the middle of the country, Minnesota, most of Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, we are looking for normal temperatures. You get out to the west, South Dakota, Nebraska, into Kansas, we've got expectations of below normal temperatures. And then out east, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and down to the southeast, we are looking for above normal temperatures October 6th through the 10th. The line for above normal precipitation runs from Wisconsin, southeast Nebraska, all of Iowa, eastern Nebraska, most of Kansas, Oklahoma, and all points to the east, where we are expected to see above normal precipitation. That is for October 6th through the 10th. Now, jump out to the 8 to 14 day. The above normal temperatures are back in the outlook for Eastern North Dakota, Eastern South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, the rest of the Corn Belt for October 8th through the 14th. We are expecting to see above normal temperatures. Above normal precipitation is also expected through most of Minnesota, Eastern South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee. The rain just kind of keeps coming in here, doesn't it? I'm telling you, I'd like to get a little bit of relief from that. There's no doubt about it. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks to Jack Scoville from Price Futures and to Kerry Artak for joining us. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have a conversation with new NCTA president Kevin Ross. He's no stranger to AgriTalk. And tomorrow afternoon, Pro Farmers Brian Grady and Jeff Wilson.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Thanks to the Syngenta Midwestern Agronomy team for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your Syngenta agronomist about weed management and other best practices that meet the needs of your farm.